الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواج أهل بيته أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما، ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. وبعد، My dear brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin. My apologies for the slight delay from this dars. I have to go straight to the program at Masjid Bayt al-Aman, where we're giving scheduled to give a talk and do a majlis of dhikr and so forth, which will also be broadcasted online, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, inshallah. Now, as I'm speaking, just let me know when I change screens if you can still hear me. Can you still hear me? Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So we'll go straight into the text, inshallah ta'ala, to understand the maktubat better. We are going through Maktub 287 of the great Shaykh of Tariqa and Tasawwuf in the Deen of Islam, the great reviver of the Islamic sciences, the great Mujahid, Shaykh Ahmed Sirhindi, Al-Hanafi, Al-Naqshbandi, more popularly known as Mujaddid Al-Thani. Okay, so we're starting paragraph 2, just at the bottom of page 1. If you have the English translation in front of you, you should open it up. Those Majzoobs, meaning stupefied in divine love. I'll explain that in a minute. Let's read the paragraph and the text first, and then we'll break it down and unpack some of the things in there, inshallah. Those Majzoobs stupefied in divine love, who are en route on their journey of suluk, are more likely to be entrapped in the illusion of having become perfect than those who have yet to begin their training in suluk. It is only through suluk that self nafs is cleansed, and a seeker gets conversant with the intricacies of its path. In the state of jazb, only the heart qalb is immersed in the divine love, but the desires of the self are yet inact or partially subdued. Seekers in this state are more likely to be misled into illusions by Shaitan, than seekers who, although have not gained the state of jazb, but have sufficiently treaded the path of suluk. Remember the example of the Kaaba journey cited above. A beginner, majzoob, mubtadi, majzoob, may apparently resemble the accomplished in his state of jazb, but both cannot be equated. There's some typos in this in the English, which needs to be cleared, inshallah ta'ala, in due course. The former is spiritually sick and under the influence of his nafs. He's likely to be entrapped by satanic ploys easily. A seeker who completes the journey of suluk becomes a Bandai fana fillah. This word that people ask, fana, what's fana? What's fana? Fana is lataif. What's fana of this? So fana fillah, Mujaddid Thani Abdullah is explaining, fana fillah, absorbed, merged in the ultimate truth. All his deeds and acts are for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He normally doesn't fall prey to the dictates of his self, nafs. An act of omission is immediately reprimanded, enabling him to return to the divine truth. Okay, so there's a lot in there. And this will take the whole of the dars, so we can't do a too longer dars as well due to the commitments. Inshallah ta'ala, the majzoobs. Majzoob is based, if you break down the Arabic, who can tell me what is the scale that the word majzoob is on? Does anybody know? Any students of Arabic who know what the scale is? The wazn. So Hal, you can tell me. You can unmute and tell me. Mehmet, Sahil, anyone, unmute your mic, you can tell me what you want.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Sheikh.
Yes, wa alaikum salam, Mohammed. Go ahead.
It's ism maf'ul, Sheikh.
Ismi mafur, mashallah ta'ala. Yes. So, well done. So it's ismi maf'ul, which means that it is, you can mute your mic now. It is the object. In English, in grammar, you call it the object, the maf'ul bihi. It is that which upon which the action is done. For example, the, well, in here in particular, the scale is maf'ulun. Maf'ulun. So you see, madhubun. It's on the same scale, right? Meaning anything that comes on that scale will be the object, the thing upon which the verb is done, the fi'l is done, the action is done. Dharaba. Dharaba Zaydan Amarun. Who can translate that? Very basic Arabic. Abdul Halim.
Zaid beat it, Amr, or hit Amr.
Yes. And why? But I have said in there, Dharaba means to hit, that one man hit. Dharaba. On the scale of fa'ala. Dharaba. Amaran Zaydun. Why Amaran and Zaydun? Why is it not Amarun Zaydun? And why is it not Amaran Zaydan? Why is one Amaran and why is one Zaydun?
We need to distinguish between the fa'al and the maf'ulun bihi, so the
No.
we can.
No. Inshallah ta'ala, you can mute your mic. It's close. You have to distinguish, yes, that part is correct, but between the fa'il and the maf'ul, the fa'il, not the fi'l. The fi'l is the verb, the action. The fa'il is the one doing the action. Right? So, dharaba means he one man hit, but who hit? Amaran. So, in Arabic, the beauty of Arabic, that just the diacritical marks of fatha, dhamma, kasra, the a, u, e, that is enough to tell you what position that is within the i'rab, within the sentence structure. So, dharaba, he one man hit, past tense. That's fi'l. It's a fi'l, it's an action. It's madi, past tense. It's wahid, it's singular, and it's mudhakkar, masculine. These are the things that you can find out just from dharaba. He one man hit. Who did he hit? Amaran. That which comes afterwards and is in the state of nasab, mansub, with the fathatain, the two fathas. So instead of Amara, it's Amaran. Or it, just Amara, it's fine. In fact, Amara, because it's a proper noun, it's a name. So, Dharaba Amara, he was hit. This, who was hit? Amara was hit. He's the maf'ul. The maf'ul is always mansub. It's in the state of nasab, always. And the fa'il is always a marfu, in the state of raf', meaning with the dhamma, with the u. So the fa'il comes afterwards. In Arabic, it's he was hit, but he was hit, meaning Amr was hit by Zayd. Khair. This is a lot of the brothers who are online here. They have a desire to learn Arabic. It's very beautiful. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. SubhanAllah. The more Arabic text that you read, the more you speak, easier it becomes. Khair, let's continue, inshallah. So, madzub is on the fi'l on the scale of maf'ul. So, what's the action? What's the verb that's been done on this madzub? Jazm. Jazm has been done on this madzub. He is the object of the jazm. The jazm has been put on him. He has been able to gain jazm of Allah, which we have discussed in detail, which we won't go into at this point. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So the author says, those madzub, and what's a madzub again? Obviously, stupefied in divine love. That's one way of saying it. It means all the things, the desires to be close to Allah. They don't want to sin. They want to stay engrossed in the dhikr of Allah. who are en route on their journey of Suluk are more likely to be entrapped by the illusions of having become perfect than those who have not yet begun the journey of Suluk. What a important and amazing statement. That why is the person who has begun his journey to try and become better? Look, let's just use normal day-to-day language. A person who does tawbah from doing haram has led a life of sin. They have looked at things haram, they have said things haram, they have consumed haram, they have done things haram, whether it's of the eyes, the mouth, the private parts, the hands, the feet, they've lived, but now they want to change. People's du'as have come into favor. Allah has shown special mercy. When a person wants to do tawbah, they do tawbah, they start practicing, they go to shuyukh, they start doing some dhikr, adhkar, start taking some advice, all of this thing. Now, this person, when they start doing dhikr, they may start seeing things. Because all of a sudden, what's the dhikr do? The dhikr of Allah, whether it's muraqbah, whether it's la ilaha illallah loudly, whether it's illallah, whether it's haqq, whether it's Allahu Allah, whatever dhikr it is, all of the adhkar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cleanse the heart. Whether it's silent muraqabah on latifa qalb, ruh sir khafi akhfa nafs, whichever form of dhikr it is, it in and of itself is not the goal. The method of the dhikr is never the goal. People get lost. Oh, he's a Naqshbandi, why is he doing loud dhikr for? Ask me that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The objective is the dhikr. They've got lost in a cult mentality. No, in our tariqah, in the Naqshbandi tariqah, it's only silent dhikr. If you don't do silent dhikr, not Naqshbandi shaykh. The shaykh is a mujtahid in tariqah. The shaykh is a mujtahid. He's not bound by the rules of that tariqah. He can use, he has ijazah in that tariqah and maybe others to use whichever combination he thinks is best for that day and age and for that person, man or woman, in that country, in that particular place. It may be their two brothers, identical twin brothers or two sisters, and they're murid of the same sheikh. He may give them two different types of dhikr. Everybody's an individual. Somebody doing silent dhikr is no greater wali of Allah than the one doing loud dhikr. And the one doing loud dhikr is no greater wali of Allah than the one doing silent dhikr. Both are mentioned in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and remember your Lord and silently in your own selves. So we have the dalil for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember, O believers, remember Allah excessively in the morning and the evening. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the authentic hadith, remember Allah and do so much dhikr of Allah that people call you mad. And in another hadith, that people call you somebody with riya, meaning somebody who's trying to show off, showing how much dhikr I'm doing. Now the question arises, the muhaddith would have written, this can only be with loud dhikr, meaning dhikr that's jahr, with jahr. Because how will they know if he's doing a dhikr, if he's silently just sitting, contemplating? They don't know whether he's sleeping, whether he's resting. So both are proven through hadith. One is not better than the other. Yes, there is something here. Dhikr, it starts from the tongue. That's the initial stage. And then it enters the heart, the qalb. Then it enters the whole of the ruh and all of the body, which is no sultan al-adhkar. Then after that, it becomes such that you don't even need to say the words, you're in a state of dhikr. Now, what is the state of dhikr? The state of dhikr is the goal. This is the goal. The state of dhikr is what? Ma'iyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'aluq billah. Khashyatillah. Khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah. His love, his ma'iyyah. Feeling that Allah is with me, he's watching me. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ And he is with you, Allah says in the Holy Quran. Allah tells us about his relationship with us, and he is with you when nobody else is with you. When nobody's with you, Allah is with you. And those who become regular, perpetual in the dhikr, this is something they achieve. This is the goal. Not the la ilaha illa hu, la ilaha illa hu, illa Allah, haqq, or silent dhikr, or with breath, or Habzadam, these are not the goal. They're just methods, different methods. And people require different combinations to unlock. So the goal is the perpetual huduri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is kayfiyat ihsan. And this is the goal from the hadith of Jibreel. This is the tasawwuf of the Quran and Sunnah. People get lost. This is what Mujaddid al-Thani is crying about here. He is bemoaning. He's complaining to who? His brother. That this is what people have done in the Naqshbandi tariqah. That because they start feeling certain things in dhikr and muraqabah, some people start seeing things, lights, sounds. Some people start feeling things. They feel like crying. And all these are all mahmud. They're praiseworthy in themselves. But they're not maqsood. They're not the goal. Mahmud wa ghayru maqsood. Mahmud praiseworthy because they show that the person's on the right track. But they're ghayr maqsood. They're not the maqsood. يعني هذه الأحوال, none of these أحوال states are مقصود, not even the crying. The مقصود is to be in such a state that when you are at home, when nobody's seeing you, when you don't have a prayer cap on your head, you're just lying down, relaxed, that you're in a state that you're not in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the way to find out? Well, if the roof was to be taken away and the walls to fall, you would not be embarrassed in front of your teachers and in front of the Muslims and the Ummah if your actions were shown what you do inside the house, inside the bedroom, inside closed doors, than what you do outside. That is the true level of nafs mutma'inna. And only nafs mutma'inna can be like this. Because that is an ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tara. That is worshipping Allah as though you see Him. As though you can see Him. Ya Allah, Ya Kareem. Subhanallah. So the Mujaddid al-Thani Abdullah is saying that why is the one who has started the journey, because the one who started the, why is he more in danger of being deceived by shaitan? Because when a person starts seeing lights, starts getting some kashf, some spiritual unveiling, they can read somebody's thought, or they see nice dreams. These are just like sweets and toppings you give to the kids. To encourage them, well done, here's a gold star, here's a silver star. Right? Well done, here's a tick, here's your favorite chocolate, well done, you've done this. Just along the way for the mubtadi, for the beginner. Shah Ghulam Ali Muhaddis Dahlawi Rahmatullah Ali, he said, when he gave bay'ah, the great Naqshbandi Shaykh, when he gave bay'ah to Shaykh Mazhar Janjana Rahmatullah Ali, you know what his Shaykh said, this great Naqshbandi Shaykh, what did he say to him? Listen, Shah Ghulam Ali, in our tariqah is very, very bland. That's what he said. Our tariqah is very bland. We just give people salt on stone to eat that. To lick the stone, the salt from the, meaning who wants to lick salt from a stone? Nobody. It's a metaphor. To say that there's no sweets and lovely tasting ta'am and food that you can have, and great fruits and dishes that you're going to get a little bit of this and a little bit of that dhikr, a little bit of this, mashallah, and visions and ecstatic states. None of that. Basic. Very basic. Stop sinning, disobeying Allah. Start worshipping Allah. Stop doing the things that Allah doesn't want you to do. Start doing the things that Allah wants you to do and implement more sunnah. That is it. Ilm, amal, ikhlas. That's the whole of the deen. Tariqah and tasawwuf is just that method to bring this on. If somebody is able to achieve that without tariqah, alhamdulillah. They don't need a shaykh, they don't need bay'ah. But it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult without it. It's possible. Extremely difficult. Only a few people in the ummah have ever been able to achieve that. Majority of people need an ustad, they need a teacher. And they will, if they're honest with themselves, if they look at their lives before they were in contact with the Shaykh of Tariqah and their lives after they were in touch with the Shaykh of Tariqah, they can see themselves exactly how much their life has improved. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to pause there, inshallah ta'ala, because there's a lot that's been said here. And I want to take some questions just in this stage so we can make sure that everybody's following what we're doing and what we're talking. So, in alphabetical order on my screen, Abdul Hadi, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You have a question?
Alhamdulillah, maybe not right now, Sheikh.
No problem, inshallah.
So,
Danielle?
I'm okay too, Sheikh.
Okay. And Mohammed Diab.
Assalamu alaikum. I also don't have any questions yet.
MashaAllah. And Suhail?
Gee, Hazrat, I've got one question.
G.
My son's just crying in the background, so I apologize for the noise. I'm babysitting.
No,
But the
no problem.
question,
That's
Jazakallah khair.
his crying is ghair ikhtiyari. It's not in his control. It's non-volitional. He's learning suluk and tasawwuf. No problem. Carry on.
The question is, that when we say that those people that are traveling, the majzub, when they, the mutamakkin majzub, that they take they get confused with what they think they've arrived at the sole object, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But really, that which they're conceiving as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is that, do they see some sort of,
They don't
see
see
some
anything.
sort of
This is very
surah?
important. They don't see anything. They get deceived in their own spirituality. They think they've reached a high state. That's what Mujaddil al-Thani rahmatullah is saying. He's saying they have to go further. He said they've you have your child there in the background. Your child gets given some toys just to let him know to carry on, inshallah, so that he can eat on time, sleep on time, and so forth. Right? But the playing with the toys is not the objective. The objective isn't to sleep and rest at this age and to wake up on time, correct? Now, the next stage of a child's growth, it's about him studying the basic studies that he's doing and praying and learning what to do, secular studies, his school studies and so forth, but also finishing on time, praying on time, doing wudu and eating on time, and again sleeping on time. You may give him some video games to play to encourage him at the end of it, to let him know that it's not all just hard work and so forth, just as a reward. But that video game is not the goal. But what if he starts playing the video game and gets lost in the video game? Says, no, I got given this because I was doing well. Now I'm just enjoying the game that I'm playing. Grand Theft Auto, Inna Lillahi Inna Raji'un. It's a haram game, by the way. Right? So he's got lost in playing his PS2 and his VR virtual reality headset, and he's lost in it. So just like that child would be lost in something that may be permissible for him from the parents to do at that time, but that was never the goal. A person starts doing dhikr, starts seeing dreams, even if they see the Rasulullah, that's not the goal. To see the Prophet in a dream is not the goal. The goal is to not disobey the sunnah of the Prophet. A person may never see the Prophet in their dream, but they've never disobeyed him or gone against the sunnah or the sharia that he brought. Who would be closer to Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment? The one who saw him in a dream once and thought, MashaAllah, I'm such a big, great spiritual person now. Prophet, I must be very beloved to Allah. And then shaitan gets to him and he stops doing the good deeds. He looks where he wants. He says what he wants. He listens to what he wants. There's no desire to change from 1 week to another week. He doesn't have a graph. People measure how much money they've made from 1 month to another, how much savings they've had. And nobody looks at how many sunnahs they've implemented from 1 week to another. I didn't do siwak before my wudu today. Why? The ulama, our akabir, our salaf al-salihin, they used to cry in old age. Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya bin Yahya Muhajir al-Madani, he could not wear the imamah, the turban, in his old age. Now, is the imamah farz? No. Is it wajib? No. It's a sunnah mustamirra. It's a perpetual sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he did say, wear the imamah, for it increases the hilm, forbearance in a person. These are the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to wear the imamah, the fact that he couldn't in his 80s, in his old age, he used to weep. We are missing our salah and we don't weep. So the point being there is that they get misguided in thinking that the change that they're feeling in their love and their shauq and the desire, they think this is the love and shauq and the jazb that you get at the end of the journey. But because their nafs has not had tazkiyah, they keep making mistakes and sins, and then they get depressed. Then they start thinking, oh, I've been doing dhikr, I've been a murid, I've been in touch with the sheikh for so long. Why have I not improved? I'm still the same. I might as well forget everything. You know, people shave their beards off. People change. People say, oh, it didn't work for me. Maybe it's not the right thing for me. Right? When the reality is they never really implemented the advice that they were given. A doctor gives you some advice to a person. I'm talking generally. A doctor gives some prescription for a headache. He says you need to drink more water. You also need to have electrolytes in your body to be able to absorb that water, right? And you need to get your eyes tested because you may be getting headaches on one side because your prescription has changed. Now, he doesn't do any of that. He just carries on eating what he wants, drinking what he wants, when he wants, and watching videos online on his phone. As a result of that, he's still getting headaches. And then he says, oh, I've been going to this doctor for a long time. I haven't benefited. No, that's a lie. You haven't implemented any of the steps that the doctor told you. So this is why it's very important to have a regular one-on-one. This tasawwuf, this whole tariqah with this Naqshbandi, Qadri, Chishti, Sohrawardi, Rifa'i. If it's a true, authentic tariqah, it's not just about getting together and doing a dhikr. That's part of it. And we're going right now to Masjid Bayt al-Aman because they want to do dhikr. They want to learn the dhikr, mashallah. Right? May Allah reward them. You know, the ulama, they phoned and said, we wanted to do a dhikr. We didn't get a chance to tell you. I know short notice today. I said, for dhikr, it doesn't matter how short the notice is. For death is even a shorter notice than that. Right? So the majalis of dhikr are so blessed. Rasulullah said in a hadith, لَا يَقْعُدُوا قَوْمًا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيمَنْ عِنْدَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That no people, these are the words of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, listen, no group of people gather, لَا يَقْعُدُوا قَوْمًا, no group of people gather, يذكرون الله تعالى for the ذكر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إلا except that حفتهم الملائكة, the angels surround them. وغشيتهم الرحمة, and for them there is blessings descending. ونزلتهم السكينة, and tranquility descends upon them. وذكرهم الله في من عنده, and Allah mentions them in His gathering. Meaning to the angels. So these are the blessedness and when we start doing the dhikr in halaqas or online with the shaykh or in majalis and so forth, and then the shaykh instructs you to do the dhikr on your own and report back weekly, 2 weeks, fortnightly, it needs to be done systematically. It can't be missed. If we miss the dhikr that's been given, all we're going to do is swing like a pendulum. And we're not going to see any changes from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. And then we'll go on a umrah if Allah gives us tawfiq, and we'll still be the same person when we come back because there's been no islah. Islah requires being transparent with the shaykh and telling the shaykh, not relying on his kashf or his perception or perceptive abilities, right? Or his discernment, his basira. But to tell the shaykh, I wasn't lying before, now I've started to lie. I never used to look at movies and women and ghayr mahram on TV, now I am. I never used to have jealousy with a brother. Now I do. These are the diseases that require prescriptions. Dhikr does not cure them. There is no dhikr on earth that cures this. Never has. Since the time of the Prophet ﷺ. When a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, a sahabi, he came, a young man. He said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit zina. He was so honest with his sheikh, Rasulullah ﷺ, give me permission to commit zina. Because he had the urge, he had the desire. Haram desire came up in the heart, in the nafs. So what did his sheikh say? Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, he didn't say, astaghfirullah, what kind of bad person you are. And a sheikh doesn't say that to a murid. Anybody who wants to change themselves, the sheikh feels love for them. He wants to guide them with confidentiality. So what did the sheikh say? And this hadith would never have been revealed if the sahabi himself did not relate this hadith in old age. Because the Prophet ﷺ never told anybody. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, do you have a mother? Do you have a sister? Do you have an aunt? Would you like if somebody asked for the permission to do the same with your mother, your aunt, your sister? He said, no, by Allah, by Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ was working on his aql. Remember the aql, the qalb, the nafs. Prophet ﷺ working through. Sometimes you have to go through the aql of a person. Sometimes you have to go through the heart and hit them in the heart. And sometimes you have to go through the nafs and make them do mujahid. Only a master, sheikh, knows which one to do. And nobody was a greater master than Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes him. He's already a believer, but he's taking him intellectually first. He's saying, and he sees that this is wrong intellectually. Aql's convinced, no problem. He already has iman. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the woman that you wish to do this with is also somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, somebody's mother. And then what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He struck his chest 3 times. Physically, right? And the Sahabi says, even till my old age, no sin was more detestable to me, more disgusting to me than this sin. And Allah protected him for the rest of his life. Alhamdulillah. What this showed, this is why the ulama of tasawwuf, our Sufiya Kiram, based on these ahadith and teachings that are deep teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, not just this is halal, this is haram, they have taken from this that the sohba of the sheikh and the rabita should be a very honest one between the sheikh and the murid. There is no embarrassment. The embarrassment will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah, in front of our parents, in front of our family members, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's better that we get this cured now. Wa akhira da'wana and alhamdulillah. Brother Muhammad, you have a question? We have 3 minutes.
Jazakumullah khairan, sheikh. I don't have any question right now. Jazakumullah khairan.
Okay, no problem. Inshallah ta'ala, you will excuse me. For those who can join online, can listen online to the talk, it will be shared on the Naqshbandi Mujaddidi group. Inshallah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala accept from me and from you. Taqabbal Allah minna wa salih al-a'mal. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah alameen. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.